Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hey, Will, what's up, man?
How you doing, Mac? Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, as usual.
My pleasure. So, again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. We're going to talk about various different topics. We're going to give our Hell in the Cell, our thoughts about the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event and the controversy surrounding that pay-per-view event. We're also going to talk about the latest with the Mets and the Yankees and, of course, Giants and Jets and a little NBA rumor news surrounding the Knicks and the Nets. But most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. Then again, the number is 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You are always welcome to. But with that said, let's dive into the Yankees. You know, the Yankees, they've been playing well. You know, lately they took, they won the series against the Red Sox. Unfortunately, for the Yankees, the Red Sox finally, did what everybody expected them to do. And, that was to clinch, the division, at Yankee Stadium. And, of course, in typical Yankee fashion, the Yankees bounced back and won by the final score of 10-8. So what's your thoughts on this past week with the Yankees?
I thought it was a very good week. I mean, they didn't sweep the Red Sox, unfortunately, as every Yankee fan wanted to do. But they took 2 out of 3, although Red Sox won that final game of that series to clinch the division, and celebrate on our field. That was the only downer. But other than that, I mean, they've been playing good this week. They won the game tonight against the Orioles. So they're trying to, have home field advantage in that wild card game against the A's. And you got guys now that have come back from the DL. Aaron Judge is back. He was activated earlier this week. Chapman is back, although he looked shaky in his first game back. So now the Yankees are complete. Now they have the team that they had, in June when they were winning all those games. So, hopefully now as they enter the postseason, they can get back on track again and do some damage. They've already set, a team record for, 245 home runs. And they had, mm-hmm. 10 guys with 10-plus home runs in the season or something like that. So,
a major league record.
Yeah, major league record. So, these guys can do damage, when they're on. So, but it's all going to come down to the postseason. That's what they're going to be judged by, Hence the title of your show
yeah,
tonight.
No pun intended. Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, man. It's, right now, season's almost over. So, right now, the Yankees just have to keep winning, keep pace with the Oakland A's who haven't been losing. So hopefully they'll have that home field advantage in that wild card game.
You hit it right on the head. The Yankees are doing well. They're a 94-win team. And, they're playing well. I mean, they haven't, collectively, the second half, they haven't been playing as dominant as they were before, but I mean, they won the series with the Red Sox, you know, but they weren't able to win that last game to put the broom on them and to avoid, you know, the celebration.
Yep.
But, you know, they bounced back with the Orioles, and, you know, as of right now, they have like a two-game lead, you know, up on the A's.
Yep.
So, you know, the Yankees are doing well, you know, but like you hinted at, you know, Yankees aren't the players aren't paid the multi-million dollar contracts for doing well in September. You know, they're getting paid for their performances in October. So the 246 home runs coming into today, it's an impressive number, you know, for the you know for anybody, especially the Yankees, you know. But, you know, they're getting paid, you know, for what they do in October. The guys get into Reggie Jackson mode and try to bring the title back, the first title since 2009. And when you think about it, the Yankees, you know, after 2000, with the exception, of course, 2009, you know, the Yankees, you know, they've had a lot of star players with big bucks. But when they get to the postseason, especially going back, like with Soriano and you know, A-Rod prior to the 2009 season, a lot of those guys, you know, they struck out a lot in the postseason, you know, and I think that's what some Yankee fans are thinking, that if they don't get their acts together, you know, if they're not firing on all cylinders, you know, the Yankees could get eliminated, you know, eventually in this series. I don't think they'll lose to the A's, but then again, you know, the Yankees, they gotta hit, you know, they have to hit, you know, on the clutch and not just go, you know, go yard all the time. I mean, it helps, but you can't always count on, you know, a team going, you know, deep, especially in October, because you're gonna be facing quality pitching here on out.
That's true. Yeah, that's true, you know. You have to play small ball. Although, the last several years in the World Series, we've seen some really, you know, pitchers haven't looked good in the World Series the last several years, especially last year with all those home runs in that Dodger-Astro series. That was like home run derby,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's not reflective of how, you know, these players are actually going to perform, you know, in some of these postseason series where you're going to have a lot of these hitters, you know, striking out a lot against good pitching. So, yeah, I mean, Yankees definitely, they we saw it in the ALCS last year where, you know, in some games against the Astros where they couldn't hit, especially when they
mm-hmm.
played at Astros Stadium. So hopefully they could, you know, not rely on the long ball so much and play some small ball.
Absolutely. So are you a little, you know, as a result of that, are you a little bit worried, you know, the Yankees might, you know, not, they might not live up to the hype?
Somewhat, but, you know, I'm always optimistic, you know, always thinking that they're going to win anyway, you know, but, you know, there is a little, you know, part of me that thinks that, you know, yeah, they could get tight during the postseason or they can face good hitting and, you know, not, you know, rely on the home run too much, you know, but they have so much good hitters right now. I mean, they have Luke Voit, who just came out of nowhere. That is looking like
mm-hmm.
Shane Spencer 2.0, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have too many good hitters to not do well in the postseason. I hope they do well, but, you know, the postseason is a crapshoot. You never know what happens, so... You know, it's left to be seen, I guess.
That's a good point and very transparent of you to, you know, to say that you do have some reservations. But, of course, you know, being a diehard Yankee fan, you know, you do believe in this, you know, this team and this organization to put you, you know, the team in the right position to win. So
yeah.
I appreciate your honesty as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But flipping to the other side of the coin, or in this case, the other side of town, the Mets, you know, they're going in opposite directions than the Yankees. Stop me if you heard that before in a regular season. But you know, the Mets, you know, they are, you know, as you all know, after starting out 11-1, you know, it's gone downhill ever since then. But the only saving grace that the Mets have had all year, you know, with this with the exception of Jeff McNeil, you know, performing out of nowhere, Conforto bouncing back, you know, he's this close to having a 30 home run season, which would be the first of his career. He hit his he hit a home run hit. I think he tied his career high. I think yesterday. But you know, the highlight of the Mets season is obviously, of course, Jacob DeGrom. And again, this guy, I think what he has at least what 23 straight quality starts. I mean, it's like ridiculous. This guy, I mean, this guy, he's been phenomenal all season, and it didn't stop today. I mean, he went 7 innings. He could have went 8. I mean, I would have seen what he – I would have made him pitch in the 8th and see how he would have done and made him, you know, try to complete the game. That's how dominant he was. But unfortunately, the Mets only let him go 7 innings. He struck out 8. He only allowed a run, I think, in the second or third inning. I think it was in the second, but I digress. And, you know, he has another victory. I mean, this guy, he's been – untouchable. You know, he has over 250 strikeouts. You know, this he's been the Grominator, man. He's just been dominating, you know, this league. He's been arguably the best pitcher in the game. And even though I almost had a heart attack watching the game, well, actually listening to the game, watching it, and then towards the end listening to the game on the radio with my father, you know, we're probably the only two Mets fans still watching and listening to this horrible team. But you know, it was a nail biter at the last two innings. But Lugo and Gesellman in the, you know, the eighth and ninth inning, they were able to hold on, you know, for DeGrom. So as a result, DeGrom is now 9-9. And he has one more start, guaranteed start coming up, and a potential last start on the last day of the season. But as of right now, it looks like he'd be going on 3 days rest. So, you know, I'm hoping he can at least win his last guaranteed start, which is, you know, going to be coming up in, what, the 5 more days from now. And then we'll see if he'll pitch that the last season, the last game of the season, which of course would be the day after David Wright, you know, makes his you know, his return and starts next Saturday, and he'll be playing alongside his longtime teammate Jose Reyes, who, believe it or not, they haven't played together since 2011, when Jose Reyes, you know, would eventually sign with the Marlins after he won the only batting title in the Mets history that year. So, yeah, ever since Wright has been hurt since 2016, you know, they signed Reyes to replace him, and then afterwards, you know, ever since then, Wright has been trying to come back. And, you know, barring an injury from Reyes will be, you know, will be playing alongside his, you know, his longtime teammate, you know, probably for the last time. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, they're right. You know, he's definitely going to get, he's definitely going into the Met Hall of Fame. That's for sure.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Know, truly a Met legend, you know, forever. Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy's been a class act. You know, he's been like the Derek Jeter for the Mets, pretty much, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, he's had a very good career, but, you know, last several years or so, injuries have really, you know, kept him away from the field. You know, so But you know, he's had a good career, very very good career, and you know, had great games against the Yankees also. You know, he'll go down as one of the all-time.
That ball is still going over Damon's head in 06.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But no, I was going to say that. Yeah, I mean, he's a, you know, he's definitely going to be remembered as one of the all-time great Mets, you know, up there with Strawberry and Doc and Piazza. You know, he's up there with those guys. Even though he never won the championship, you know, it's always be remembered as a Met. But yeah, I mean, sad, you know, to see him leave this way, you know, because of all the injuries he's had, you know, in the past. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely gonna be missed by not only Mets fans, but you know, baseball fans as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Donovan Mitchell, you know, the NBA player from the Jazz, he wished right well, and apparently he's a fan of his. So, kind of makes me wonder if he's a Mets fan as well. So, you know, he thanked them, you know, once, you know, Wright made the announcement. What was it, like almost 2 weeks ago? When he or was it last week? I think it was last week when Wright. You know, announced that this year is most likely his last year, even though he has 1 year left on the contract. And, you know, it's sad, you know. I mean, Wright had a phenomenal Met career, definitely worthy of having the number five retired. And unfortunately, the two things that stand out is one, of course, obviously, you know, he didn't win a title with the Mets, which – obviously, that's extremely elusive since the Mets only won in 69 and 86. But something that's even more glaring is that, you know, the past 2 years, you know, was robbed from him, you know, because of the injuries. And as a result, as of right now, he's second on the all-time home runs list behind the aforementioned Darryl Strawberry. So I think he's, eight shy from him. I think Darryl's number is 252, I think, is his all-time home run list. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, right, you know, his injury, I believe it's the same injury Don Mattingly had, which, you know, two New York legends got, you know, their careers got cut short.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we'll see what happened with Wright, you know. Should be a magical night, you know. Give a Mets fan something, you know, to look forward to, you know. In addition to, you know, DeGrom, you know, DeGrom's performance today should solidify him winning the Cy Young Award, because we all know that the Mets offense has been very offensive to, you know, his chase, and you know, hopefully he'll unseat Max Scherzer and prevent Max Scherzer from winning a third straight Cy Young award. So a third Cy Young award. So and of course Nola pitched well as well. He was in the running as well. So hopefully at the end of the day, you know, the ground will get that victory. But
yeah. I mean, the Mets, they need to give their fans, you know, some highlights near the end here, because, I mean, the only highlight I've seen on SNY has been the show Prospects, you know?
You're
like the best
right.
show ever.
Yeah, you're right. Other than, yeah, and they, the Mets had a top prospect in the minor leagues, Peter Alonso. Guy hit 36 home runs.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
They didn't call him up. They didn't call him up.
Still?
So, nah, they're not calling him up this year. They're going to eventually call him up next year, most likely so that, you know, his clock won't start ticking.
I disagree with that. They should have called him up. They should have called him up in the second half.
That's what he was saying, and that's what his agents were saying too, but the Mets didn't call him up. You know, they wanted to play Wilmer Flores, who's now, his career is in jeopardy. The Mets shut him down yesterday because it was revealed that he has arthritis in both knees. So, you know, Flores's career looks like, you know, it's unfortunately coming to an end because of this injury. And, you know, the guy, you know, he was a defensive liability. However, the guy, you know, he was good in the clutch, and he bled orange and blue, you know, especially after he almost got traded and, you know, became a fan favorite. So, you know, he'll definitely be missed, you know, if this is the end of his career.
Yeah.
What was I talking about before with the Mets, before I spoke about Wilmer Flores. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they didn't want to they wanted to play Wilmer Flores, and they also want to play Bruce, you know, because they have, you know, they gave him the huge contract. I think next year is his last year. So they're going to try to trade him or play him at first. And then you have Dominic Smith, who was, you know, their prospect, who they've – their top first base prospect as well, who they've soured on, but he's been having more playing time. Him and Bruce has been sharing the you know, first base duties lately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think Alonso should have played. But, you know, hopefully he'll stay healthy and he'll be able to play. And hopefully Mets will actually make some moves in this offseason, signing maybe Wilson Ramos or trying to think of the other catcher that's available out there. But, yeah, they definitely need to – you know, it would be a miracle if they signed Machado, but, you know, if he's coming to New York, he's gonna be, you know, receiving mail at the Bronx. So, I don't think he's coming here. I mean, to Queens.
The Mets need to – I mean, come on. The Mets, they need to do something this offseason. They have
they
to. Their fans are pleading for this organization to do something. I mean, come on.
That's
spend
how
money.
Bad it is. That's how bad it is, folks. A Yankee fan is actually speaking reasonable and saying that Mets should spend the money. That's how
for real.
How bad the situation is.
Yeah, man. Like, do something, please.
I hope you heard that Doyle Pons and whoever the new GM is gonna be. Listen to this guy. Listen to a Yankee fan. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, like, and the Mets, they play in a big market, like, but they, for some reason, they have a small market mindset right now. I don't get it.
Exactly. I was thinking about that yesterday, as you mentioned it. I was watching the game. It was like that. Literally popped in my head. I was like, "They exactly what you said." It's like they should be running the team. You know what I mean? Like they should be having fun running a team. Like trying
right.
to make like a dream matchup, like a video game. Like be like
yeah.
trying to set up a team like with prospects, hungry prospects, and some veterans who have that World Series experience, or guys who've been like star players, been in a tough
mm-hmm.
situation, but they have gentleman. I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for, like a professional player that player's hungry for a title.
Yeah.
You know, you need leaders like that. You need a leader who has preferably World Series, you know, championship experience, or somebody who's been in a tough situation all the time, but they keep their head, they keep their head up and they play the game the right way. And they're there to nurture the youth that you drafted.
Like the 06 team, had like a mixture of veterans, young guys, right? Reyes,
Floyd,
Delgado, Beltran, Pedro Martinez, El Duque,
exactly.
You know?
Yep, exactly. You hitting it right on the head. And then on the 2016 team, they had what's his name, Colon.
Yeah.
You know, with the hurling young guys,
right.
in the front rotation. I mean, you hit it around the head. You know, that's what they need to do. They need to get back to that. But the most important move they got to do is who's going to be their GM. And whoever that GM is, whoever he or she is, man, they got to give that person the opportunity and turn this team around.
Yeah, I agree.
And speaking of turning things around, the Jets, man, they started off – they won that first game, and ever since then it's been downhill, you know. Darnold, he's made some rookie mistakes these past two games. And, of course, as a result, the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, snapped the 19 and defeat the Jets. I mean, it just shows you what happened when you have, you know, conservative play calling and that horrible penalty as a result of Crowell, you know, doing that lewd touchdown celebration, which you know, led to another penalty. And that basically opened the doors for the Browns to score a touchdown and hold on and defeat the Jets by a final score of 21-17. And what can you say? What is the game, man?
Well, the Browns, they're not as bad as last year. This year they have a good defensive team. Offense, I don't know. I'm not sure about that, how their offense is going to do. But, Darnold has not looked good at the past two games, especially this game against the Browns. I mean, he only completed half of his passes, I think. But I think the thing there's not much of a chemistry. He hasn't established much of a chemistry with the receivers like McCown did last year. I mean, Robbie Anderson had like a great year, a standout year last year. This year so far, it doesn't look like he has much chemistry with Darnold. I don't know why that is, but they need to get, you know, that tandem.
Absolutely.
Somehow, you know, create some plays so that way you get Robbie Anderson down the field.
Yeah, he got outplayed by Mayfield, his fellow draft pick of this year.
Yeah.
One in three. The guy who he was expected to get drafted, you know, in place.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's what happened. You know. But they gotta win this next game to even this series up, the season up.
Well, you know, right now it's Wonder Years for Darnold, so you know he'll hopefully next game it'll be better.
Yep. And I mean the good thing, the positive about him is that, you know, he's a professional. You know, he's not, you know, even when he has a bad game, he doesn't like implode. But yeah, he definitely needs to turn it around. You know, his performances these last two games, especially yesterday, was bad. So
yeah,
see what happened with that. And then shifting gear with the other team in the Meadowlands, the Giants, they're going to try to get their first victory against the other team in Houston, in Texas, and that's the Houston Texans. And, both teams are 0-2. And, this is going to be a tough matchup for Big Blue. What's your thoughts?
Man, this offense is this offensive line is straight trash. They can't protect anyone. I mean, anyone trying to score. They can't protect the running back. They can't protect Eli. Wide receivers can't get down the field. I mean, this is like last year almost. You know, maybe just worse. I mean, they got to turn it around. If they lose this game, then I have no hope for the rest of the season. Sadly.
Yeah, I feel you, man. They can't protect E. Honda from Street Fighter.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say, but, you know, it's looking more and more like, you know, Eli might have to retire soon. I mean, I know he had his numbers. He had good numbers when the game finished, but, I mean, he's not mobile, and, you know, I don't know. It's just not the Eli from 10 years ago. You know, we might have to move on from him pretty soon.
maybe after this year. I mean, I think we're going to have to get a young mobile quarterback in there.
Yeah, that's what people were criticizing the Saquon Barkley move, which obviously, you know, because they felt like, you know, with these three quarterbacks, you know, Mayfield, Allen, Rosen, and of course Darnold, you know, they felt they should have went with it, but you know, the Giants felt otherwise. You know, you got an explosive, you know, guy like that on the offense and Barkley, you know, with the potential there. You know, they wanted to take that shot, and they felt Eli had at least one or two more years in the tank. But so far they had you know, a tough start as of right now. But you know, hopefully they can turn it around this Sunday.
Let's hope so. You know, hopefully can have some good games from get a good game from Odell and Barkley. Barkley, he's looked all right. You know, he looks like he could be a playmaker. But again, that offensive line, he just needs to provide better protection.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we talk about the NBA rumor with the view of the Hell in the Cell, and my thinking about the pay-per-view was, I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view event, except for the ending, really. But before we get to that, let's just talk about what happened. New Day, you know, of course, Big E, Kofi, with Xavier Woods, you know, basically at ringside, they defeated Rusev Day, which of course is Aiden English, before he betrayed Rusev on SmackDown, and of course Lana, and Aiden English, just like in SmackDown, and for the past seemingly 5 years, even though this team has been together for like a year, you know, Aiden English cost Rusev Day the victory and got the pinfall by I think Kofi Kingston hit a troubling paradise for the victory. And then of course on SmackDown, after Rusev lost after Rusev got distracted by Aiden English to tell, you know, channeling Lana and telling Rusev crush, you know, Rusev got distracted for the pinfall by Nakamura in United States Championship defense. So basically, and then as a result on SmackDown, Aiden English attacked Rusev, ironically, with the microphone. So, you know, it's a sad end for Rusev Day, because at least those guys should at least win a title with Rusev, at least, you know, at the very minimum, a tag team title, you know.
I agree.
It's like Crime Time, you know. That's like a wasted opportunity, you know, WWE not capitalizing on the popularity, because, you know, it's like WWE kind of punishes people, you know, if they get popular without them having a say in their popularity, which is why Rusev was being treated as a heel. Fans were cheering for him, and Becky Lynch is, you know, clearly should be treated like Stone Cold, the anti-hero, but the announcers keep portraying her as a villain, even though the fans are clearly behind her. But we're gonna get into that momentarily. Then, of course, you had Jeff Hardy losing to Randy Orton, which no surprise there. Jeff Hardy loses when he tries to swing and like drop himself off the cell onto do it like a splash on Randy Orton through the table, but Randy Orton moved out of the way, and Jeff Hardy crashed and burned, and as a result, of course, Jeff Hardy lost.
I thought that was the best match of the night. I mean, although I didn't agree with them starting it early like that. They started right at the beginning of the show after that Rusev match.
But
right.
That was probably the best match of the night. I mean, you had Jeff Hardy flying all over the place, hanging from the swinging from the cell like a monkey, you know.
Yeah.
Randy Orton taking the, was this a screwdriver and putting it through Jeff Hardy's ear?
Oh, yeah, that was
twisting it. Yeah, that was gruesome to watch, but I thought that was a brutal match. You know, best match of the night, I think, in my mind.
Oh, it was a really good match. I was pleasantly surprised that it turned out well. You know, I know they're both legends, but I felt like it was just going to be another SmackDown match. But, you know, and with, you know, Jeff Hardy being in Hell in the Cell match, I was like, this match doesn't scream Hell in the Cell. The AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe match seemed more like a Hell in the Cell type match. But once I found out that Jeff Hardy has never been in a Hell in the Cell, I was like, okay, that makes perfect sense. Because, I mean, the guy, shit, he's been the company, you know, on and off for like, what, 20 years or so? So,
yeah,
you know. You know, it makes sense for him to finally have this match. And, you know, Randy Orton won, and rightfully so, he got the pin. Randy Orton took advantage and didn't let that match end in a draw, which, of course, it'll be the theme of the night. You know, instead, Randy Orton got the pinfall and got the victory. Then, of course, Becky Lynch, she defeated Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's title. And they continued that feud at SmackDown when, you know, Becky Lynch cut an epic promo on Charlotte, you know, basically showing her that basically she's better than her because she has the title. And, you know, Charlotte Flair was talking smack, saying that, you know, it took Becky Lynch 2 years to get the title, but, you know, it'll only take her just one day to get the title back. And, of course we know that because Charlie won the title like, what, five, six times already? And she's been in the company for like 2 years.
More than that.
It seems like 100, but, you know, I mean, we know she's going to get it back. I mean, that's not a spoiler alert. You know, we know
that.
I mean, technically it is a spoiler alert, but we all knew that. And then, but yeah. Becky Lynch, you know, she won the title as, you know, the fans wanted. And now, you know, I was hoping that they were going to do a double heel turn, you know, a la WrestleMania 12, was it? Let me think in my mind. No, was that 13? The one with Stone Cold and Bret. No, yeah, that was 13 because 12 was Shawn Michaels versus Bret.
Yeah, that was next
Iron
year.
Man.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so WrestleMania 13, I thought that's what should have happened. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And as a result, the announcers are keep portraying Becky as a heel instead of an anti-hero like Stone Cold. And
like
the most
Becky,
important thing,
the way she is. She's feisty.
Yeah, she's much better as a heel. I mean, the fans were always behind her as a baby face, but now she has that edge, that X factor. And, of course, capped that off with a disarmament on Charlotte Flair after they came to blows during the at the end of the championship coronation at the end of SmackDown. So yeah, that definitely was a great way to end the SmackDown show on Tuesday. But moving on, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, They defeated Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. No surprise there. I think Dean and Seth would win, but you know, it's no surprise that Dolph and McIntyre held on.
Yeah, they're a good team, Dolph and McIntyre.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, Miz and Maurice defeat Daniel and Brie Bella, mixed tag team match. I thought Daniel would get the victory there, but, most important thing is that they're going to fight each other one more time, and this time it's for something. It's for a number one contender of the WWE championship, whether it's AJ Styles or Samoa Joe at the Crown Jewels pay-per-view event. So that
either way, that's going to be great.
That's going to be a great match and a great way to end their feud.
Yep.
Even though I would have preferred their feud ending at WrestleMania, but, you know, this actually means something, this fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as a result, I think Mari's pinned Brie Bella, you know, at the pay-per-view event. But, yeah, shifting gears, some AJ Styles defeats Samoa Joe in a controversial finish. He basically got the pinfall as while, you know, Samoa Joe got him to tap out, which surprised me because it was hidden in plain sight because I didn't see the camera angle perfectly prevented the viewers from seeing AJ Styles tapping out on the other side. So I thought Samoa Joe was lying. But now, as a result, Samoa Joe is justified, you know, with a rematch, and he's going to get a rematch at the upcoming pay-per-view event. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's going to win the title now. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I thought he was going to win at Hell in the Cell, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think he'll definitely win it now.
Yeah,
it's going to be a no disqualification match. And yeah, he has a gripe. And then
yeah.
And then you got Ronda Rousey defeating Alexa Bliss for the 1,000,000th time, you know, in a quick jobber style match. No surprise there. Let me see what else matches was there.
Roman Reigns.
That's it. That's the last one. Roman Reigns and some more. Braun Strowman ended when, shockingly, Brock Lesnar came out of nowhere and interrupted the match, which I thought was a cool moment, shock factor moment. But why didn't they have Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, either, you know, make Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman pin, you know, one another and have a decisive victory instead of a lame draw in a now disqualification match, which I thought that was pretty lame. They should have revealed that Braun Strowman had a secret alliance with him that, you know, and he, you know, the reason why he made Braun Strowman pin him, it would have been a new champion. It would have been interesting. And then people would be like, wow, you know, Braun Strowman is secretly aligned with Lesnar and, you know, he's going to owe him a title shot in the future. You know, it would have made a lot more sense, or at least had worst case scenario pin Roman Reigns and say, hey, if I can't beat Roman Reigns, you can't kind of scenario. Instead of having a draw, it was just a waste of time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But as a result of someone interfering a championship match, he's going to get a number. It's going to be a triple threat match, Lesnar, Strowman, Reigns at the Crown Jewels pay-per-view event. So he's rewarded for interfering the match. Makes sense, WWE. And lastly, there's a rumor with Jimmy Butler getting traded